Bible, and please do, to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that has a very ancient prophecy in it. I don't know if you realize this, but as we have been looking at the true meaning of Christmas, the advent of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we connect with the very ancient past. Christmas is not just a cultural invention, you know, of the past several centuries, but rather the true meaning of Christmas is connected all the way back to Abraham. And so we're going to see that in just a few moments. But let's stand, and we're going to read verses 25 through 35 in Luke chapter 2. Would you please stand out of reverence and respect for the Lord's words? And let's begin together in unison. On the eighth day, need my glasses. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The Lord adds blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. It's said that archaeologists make the best husbands or wives. And the reason for that is that the older you get, the more interested in you they become. That's a good thing, because some of y'all are fossils out there right now. As we look at this passage of Scripture, you might think that this prophecy is only from Simeon. And, of course, he's giving this prophecy probably around 4 B.C. About 4 B.C. Jesus, at this point, is about 6 weeks old. We're told in the earlier verses from 21 on that Jesus is being brought to the temple according to the tradition, and that he is going to be dedicated to the Lord. And following Jewish tradition, his parents bring him there. So Jesus is about 6 weeks old, and Simeon brings this prophecy. Now, you might think, well, this is just a prophecy that Simeon gives at this time. And I'll trade you, Joe. Warm for cold. Thank you. But in truth, this prophecy that Simeon gives goes all the way back, first to Isaiah. And Isaiah is prophesying about 700 B.C., but it goes further back than that. It connects all the way back to the promise, the covenant made with Abraham. And that is approximately 2000 B.C. You remember the covenant, the promise that God made to Abraham. He said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation." Chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. He said, "Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. and all peoples on the earth will be blessed because of you. This, by the way, is the reason that we pray and bless Israel. We do it every week, and we do it in the context of our prayer meetings as well. This is why we stand with Israel. This is why our country needs to stand with Israel and support her and bless her, because God promises that He will bless those that bless Israel, and He will curse those who curse Israel. And that has been true throughout the millennium. And so this prophecy of Simeon goes all the way back, connects with Israel, connects with the promises made to Abraham about his descendants and the nation that God will bring about. Now, later on, as God has formed His people called the Israelites, the Jewish people, they are His covenant people on the earth. Later on, He prophesies through Isaiah. And He prophesies two things to them. In Isaiah 42:6-7 and Isaiah 49:6, He prophesies these things. And Randy Denny will read those passages for us.
I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
And so we can see Simeon's statements, his declarations that he prays over the Christ child, connect all the way back from Abraham then to Isaiah. And then the interesting thing is it now connects forward, not just to the disciples, not just to the believers that would follow, but it connects all the way to you and to me. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at it together. The main point of the story is this, that the ancient prophecy of the Lord's Messiah, His Christ, was fulfilled so that we could have revelation and then also be a light for revelation. We are a light of revelation of salvation, not only for the church, but for people all around us, just as Mike shared in his testimony a few moments ago. And so we have this pretty old fella named Simeon. And how do we know that he's old? Well, he knows his time is very short. And in his statement, his declaration, he says, now, Lord, dismiss your servant. Now that I have seen your Christ, your son born to you, now that I have seen him, dismiss your servant in peace. So he's obviously up there in years. He's been waiting. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. The Holy Spirit spoke these words to him. And the Holy Spirit continues to speak today, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us who have the gift of the indwelling Spirit. And so this ancient prophecy connects all the way back, 3,000 years previous to this time, and now connects forward to you and to me. With us, we have the light of revelation. Through the record of the Christ child being born, and then his life, his death and passion, and the things that he claimed and said about himself, that He came to die for our sins. He came to open a way for us to have a relationship with His Father. We have that revelation. We have that light. And we receive that beautiful revelation and we become sons and daughters of God. We talked about that last week. This new covenant that Christ has is that we can have a relationship with our Father God. But then it's not only that we receive this for ourselves. No, as he prays, prophesies over the Christ child, he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. I want you to remember with me that all of the apostles that were with Jesus were all Jewish. All of the apostles, all of those who were witnesses to the life, the ministry, the teaching, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ were all Jewish. Now let me ask you something. What if they decided, hey, you know what? God sent His Son, the Messiah, to us, the Jewish people, and we're going to keep Him to ourselves. We're not going to share this beautiful truth about Jesus Christ. We're not going to share that with the Gentiles. By the way, Gentile simply means a non-Jew. In Hebrew, it's the word goyim. You and I are goyim. And what if the disciples decided, hey, this is for the Jews only. We're not going to share this with the Gentiles. Guess what? You and I wouldn't be sitting here in church this morning. You and I would not have known the salvation that can be ours in Christ. The fact is, we read about the early church in the book of Acts, we find that they actually did hesitate to go to the Gentiles. You remember? God had to speak to Peter and had to tell him, you know, you have to go to the Gentiles, go to the house of Cornelius. He shows him the sheet with all the unclean animals. He says, take and eat, Peter. And Peter says, Lord, I've never eaten such disgusting creatures. I've never eaten unclean food like this. And what does God say? Do not call unclean what I have made clean. You see, so the Lord has made it very clear that it is perfectly fine to have sausage on my pizza. Hallelujah, is right. Sausage, pepperoni, bacon, lots of bacon. The Lord has made it clean. Now, I don't know how healthy it is, but you can eat it. You might take your life in your hands. And so, God pushed the church out, the early church, which was Jewish. He pushed the church out and He said, I have called you through my Son to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, not just to the Jewish people, but a light of revelation, yes, first to the Jew, but then also to the Gentile. Fulfilling the prophecy, this prophecy, even Rabbi Paul, who we know was the one who went all over the then known world planting churches, was Jewish. He called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But God laid on his heart that the gospel is to be shared with all people. We owe a debt of gratitude to the Jews, and therefore we bless and we stand with them. We have a debt of gratitude that we owe them, even though they now have rejected Christ. The majority of Jewish people have rejected Christ. But it was not always that way. In fact, we're told in Romans chapter 11 that Israel has experienced a hardening in part so that the full number of Gentiles can come in. You and I are part of that full number of Gentiles to come in. Well, let's break it down in the few more minutes that we have together. Number one, we see that Simeon saw the Christ child, the Messiah child, Jesus, and the prophecy was fulfilled to him personally. The Lord had said to him, the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and said, you will not die before you see the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. We're told that Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. This means that he was waiting to see the comfort that the Messiah would bring to Israel. The Holy Spirit speaks this to him, and the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to you and to me as well, but we must listen. I have a feeling that since Simeon was an older man, he had practiced in his life, he had practiced the presence of God. Did you know you have to practice the presence of God? You have to practice listening to God. It's not easy because God is spirit and we are flesh. God is divine and we are human. And it's awful hard to hear Him in this very noisy world. And we often fill our lives with noise. So much noise that we have a hard time hearing him. But you take time to listen. You truly get quiet before God and he will speak to you. I'm not saying it will be an audible voice, but God will give impressions to you. God will speak to you through the reading of his word. He'll make something come alive to you. It will jump off the page and smack you in the face. It will. And so this prophecy is fulfilled to Simeon. And now Simeon takes what God has poured into him and he begins to pour it out onto Jesus and Jesus' mother, Mary, and his legal father, Joseph. So number two, the Lord's prophecy was that the Messiah would bring this light of revelation for salvation for all people. This word revelation here means an unveiling. An unveiling of something that had been veiled. And we understand that the Jewish people were a little bit perplexed. Even to this day, the Jewish people are perplexed. They don't understand why Messiah hasn't come. They don't realize that they missed him on his first coming. As we looked at last week, they were waiting for a Messiah who was going to come and set them free from Roman rule. He was going to come and do away with the Roman boot that was on their neck. They expected him to be a conquering king. But Christ came as a servant to bear our sins. He says that very clearly many, many times. He says, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. So, he is the light of revelation. And again, it comes from Isaiah, who is speaking about the coming Messiah 700 years previous to this time. So, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, is another passage that refers to this. Mr. Bruce Gordon is going to read that passage for us.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your dawn.
I realize that this is poetic language, and can be a little bit difficult to understand, but what the Lord is saying is, I am going to give you light, and that light is going to pierce the darkness. That light is going to overcome the darkness. That light will draw people to see the revelation of my glory. And you see, that's what God wanted for his people. And that's what God wants for you and for me. As he wanted his people to be a light of revelation, so he wants you and me, as his people today, to be a light of revelation. Let me ask you a question. You still with me? Say amen. Are you a light for God? Are you shining his glory? Or as Jesus said, are you keeping your light under a basket? You see, I think part of the problem in the cultural world that we live in today is that we just don't let our light shine the way it should. And I understand that. Some of us think, well, you know, I'm not a very good Christian. I'm not a very good example. But see, God isn't interested so much in you being a good example as he is you being authentic. And so, you see, when you screw up, you take ownership and you ask forgiveness. And you admit that in and of yourself you're weak, but only in the strength of Christ do you have his grace and his forgiveness. That's what people need to see. They don't need to have somebody who's going to thump the Bible at them and every time, at every turn, quote a verse and tell them that they need to get saved because they're going to hell. That's not what people need. They need the light of revelation to show Jesus. That's what people need in their lives. That's what God wanted for his people then. That's what he wants for us today. He gave revelation, which is to be salvation for all people, all Gentiles. That includes you and me. They received this glory. They received this light. They're supposed to show how to walk in relationship with God. You see, your relationship with God is not about church. In fact, church is a very small part. This is really supposed to be a time when we come together and get encouraged and charged up and then go out all week long and live the light before people. And it's very fitting that Mike brought up that little statement earlier that when we say, let your kingdom come, we sang it, we said it in the Apostles' Creed, you know, but you cannot see God's kingdom come in your life, in my life, if I'm living in my own will. I had a conversation with someone a few days ago, and they were struggling, and, you know, they've had some failures, and they were discouraged. And I said, well, you know, you need to get back up, you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to move on, and you need to press on. You know, I said, you need to die to yourself every day. And they said, PT, what do you mean by that? And I thought about that for a second. I said, okay. I appreciated that question because it's like, what does that mean? Because we say that a lot sometimes, right? You need to die to yourself today. And it gave me an opportunity to think about it and then interact with him on it. And I said, what that means is when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I'm going to live this day through your power, not through my own, but through your power, following your will, not mine. That's what it means to die to myself. It means that I'm going to live this day to follow God's will, not my will. And, you know, Jesus used these words, die to yourself. That's the reason as Christians we use these words. But that's what it means. It means that every day I intentionally and consciously choose that I'm going to live for the will of God in my life through His power, not my own. And that's the rub, isn't it? That we find that very difficult sometimes to live in God's will. It's very easy, is it not, to live in our own will. Now, please understand, you don't have to ask God about every tiny little thing. Get up in the morning, God, should I brush my teeth today? You don't need to ask Him that. I can tell you right now, brush your teeth. You don't have to ask God, God, should I put on clothes today? Please, put on clothes. But what I'm talking about is how I live my life through the day. If we're to be a light of revelation, as Christ was a light of revelation, then we should be able to show people, look, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's what it looks like. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to have people look at you that way? That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That I am willing to have people look at me and examine my life. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Examine my life. I am not perfect. You know that. I've shared that many, many times, that I sin just like you. I'm not perfect. But what I am trying to do is live an authentic way. And when I screw up, listen, when I screw up, I own up to it. I don't make excuses. I don't blame someone else. I don't blame it on my wife. Most of the time, I don't. And she lets me have it when I do. But that's what it means to live authentically, to stop the Christian games. I think that's something that really makes God sick, is the Christian games we play. I think you know what I'm talking about. Number three, and we'll close with this. Simeon prophesied that this Messiah, Jesus, would cause the falling and the rising of many Israelites. He would be a sign spoken against, and it would reveal the hearts of many. It's a beautiful scene on the one hand, but it's a powerful scene as well. Simeon, who takes the Christ child, Jesus, the Christ child, takes him into his arms, and he just begins to prophesy over him. He blesses Jesus, and he blesses his parents, But then he says this in verse 34, this child is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and he will be a sign spoken against so that the thoughts and many hearts will be revealed. Oh, guess what? A sword will pierce your own soul too. Wow. That's some powerful words. What does he mean by that? Well, he will be a sign spoken against because many Jewish people, especially the Jewish leaders of the day, criticized Jesus. They called him a liar, a blasphemer, and eventually they're the ones that set it up for his execution. The spiritual leaders of the day spoke against Jesus. He caused the falling and the rising of many in Israelites. It's interesting that Jesus did not come and choose any of the spiritual leaders of the day. None of them. In fact, he did everything he could to discourage them from being a part of the gang because he called them hypocrites. He did not want hypocrites in his close associates and disciples. He did not want them. All the people that were his disciples, were common people. But they had one thing that was common with them, was that they were genuine. They put on no airs. They did not pretend to be something that they were not. And so those who were first among the spiritual echelon, the leadership of the day, they were brought down. And the common folk, those who were really looked down upon, they were brought up to be the disciples. They were raised up to be the disciples of Jesus. And then they were the ones entrusted to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of this, many hearts were revealed. And guess what? He still does that today. Jesus could care less about anyone's degrees, titles, accomplishments. It doesn't really matter. Everyone has to come to the cross. It's level ground, and everyone has to come on their knees. Everyone. Including Mr. Trump. We hear, a lot from him these days, his accomplishments, and he's done this, and he's done that. That's fine. But I'm really not interested in having a president that wants to tout his accomplishments. I want to hear a president who says, I don't know if I'm fit for this job, but with God's help, I will seek to follow what he has for this nation. That's what I would like to hear. Amen? That's the kind of godly man or woman that we need to lead this nation. Not someone that's going to tout all the accomplishments, because it's not about that. Because Jesus causes the rising and the falling of many people. What about you? What about you? Are you of those who have fallen because of Jesus Christ, or have you risen by putting your faith in Him? You see, Jesus brings this challenge to every one of us. What Simeon prophesied, he prophesies even today, that Jesus Christ will cause the falling and the rising of many people. So are you risen with Christ? Have you been raised to be one of His followers? Or have you fallen away because of offense? Fallen away because of unbelief? You and I must make that choice every day. We must be raised with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You would take my words, remove anything that is not of You. Lord, let Your word, only Your word, remain. Lord, speak to Your people. Challenge us to live authentic lives, to live light before people, that they might have revelation. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to come to You, that needs to open their heart to Christ, Lord, that You would work in their heart. Thank You that You have given us the light of revelation in Jesus Christ. We rejoice. Lord, we want to be that for others. that Christ might be seen in us. And so we give ourselves to you, afresh and new this day. I thank you for our time together. I bless these people that we might walk in the newness of life to a watching world. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. And the people of God said, Amen. If you want prayer for any reason, come on up, and our elders and one of our deaconesses will pray over you. Have a wonderful Christmas celebration and New Year's, and we'll see you next Sunday. Jeff Weiss is going to be sharing about his trip next Sunday. We look forward to that. God bless you all.